Meditation.
Depending on the quality of my mind.
You know, there's good days and bad days.
I mean, I feel like the waterfall of thoughts. Every now and then, a nice calm.
I can't think of anything.
This is Meditation in the City,
the Shambhala New York podcast.
And you've probably heard the term basic goodness, right? If you've listened to this podcast, it comes up. It's a fundamental teaching in the Shambhala Buddhist tradition. And maybe there's an assumption when you hear the term that you actually know what it is or have some idea of how to grapple with this sort of amorphous seeming concept. If you're like me, it's very amorphous, which is why this is a great talk, if you're like me. And that's the only reason things are great, if you're like me. But otherwise, if you're like me, this talk by Elizabeth Reed about basic goodness, I think you're really going to enjoy. Elizabeth Reed is a Shastri, a senior teacher in the Shambhala Buddhist tradition. She's been a longtime student and teacher. She has a background in theater and dance, and she is a practitioner and teacher of the Alexander Technique. And she is also teaching our introductory meditation course. She's co-teaching our introductory course called Meditation in Everyday Life, beginning on March 2nd. That's a four-week course, an hour each Thursday night, beginning March 2nd. For more information and to register, go to ny.shambhala.org and click Classes and Programs and scroll down to Meditation in Everyday Life, beginning March 2nd. And now, Elizabeth Reed, I do want to mention that there are some slight audio irregularities in the recording. Our apologies for that, but they're only slight, and I think on the whole, you'll be able to get everything, and it's worth it still, despite these audio irregularities, because it's a great talk. Shastri?
This actually came from a student of mine who we were having a meeting and just discussing life, and then I asked her, well, so what would you say, what would you want to hear about basic goodness, or what do you think about basic goodness? She said, well, actually, I have a problem with that. I have a problem with that. And I said, oh, well, what is it? And but basically, I think what she was pointing to as her problem was that sometimes in this mandala, in this community, that word can be bandied about, like, well, basic goodness. Everything's okay. I have basic goodness. Everything's basically good. And it can sound a bit like positive thinking. And to her, she said, it sounds like a thing. It sounds like, you know, it sounds like it's a thing. And I don't like that quality. I don't, that doesn't sit well with me. And I would love to just read some language that describes basic goodness, because I need to hear it right now. But I will preface it with, it's said that basic goodness is beyond verbal description. It's beyond verbal description. However, many words have come forward over the years to describe this feeling of reality. Describe this feeling of reality. So with basic, the word primordial is used, primordial, healthiness. Good is without fault, free of mistake, good, wholesome, complete. Basic goodness is also full of life and humanity's brilliance. It's not just a calm, state or a continually perky state, but it's full of all the things that we experience as human beings. And it's said that it is the very core of who we are, a dynamic entity that cannot be manipulated or controlled. Cannot be manipulated or controlled. So it's also having knowledge and skill. It's simple and bare and exposed. True and genuine. True blue, genuine. Open like the sky. Also, there's a deep feeling of worthiness, worthy of respect. Noble and honorable. So, it's said that these are our innate qualities. They're not something that we have to cook up. We have them. We are born with them. And it's also said that primordial is the self-existing prime state of humanity. So it's not compared to anything else. The ground is immovable and unshakable. So the Shambhala teachings and the teaching of meditation give us tools to uncover, to help us re-remember, re-engage, re-experience these innate qualities. Part of that is we need to engage with these principles and rouse ourselves to meet them. On the morning of the Women's March in the city, I woke up. I had actually planned on going to the march, and then I decided not to. Basically out of fear. I don't like crowds, and I thought, I don't know, there's trouble around maybe. And so I had decided not to go. I live in this area, and I woke up that morning, and I felt this amazing magnetic pull. And I said to my husband, I think I need to go. I need to go. And he said, okay, good luck, Elizabeth. But literally, there was something pulling me energetically out of my house. And I thought, there's an entryway. I read there's an entryway on 42nd Street and 5th Avenue. No, was it 5th? No, it was Park Avenue. So I just took off up Park Avenue and had this feeling of something was pulling. And I kept getting closer. There were people coming back, and they had signs, and I thought, oh, they've already been there. Maybe they already did it, you know. But I got up there, and I got very close to the 42nd Street, but I thought, it's so quiet. I'm not hearing anything. And then suddenly there was this wave of chanting and just a beautiful sound. And I got to 42nd Street and I realized that I couldn't even, nobody was moving, and I couldn't interject myself very easily into the crowd. And so I looked up, and there's this sort of overpass where you can actually stand above 42nd Street, and people were hanging off the fences around that, and I thought, I'm going up there. So I went up there, and I finally got to a point where I could look out and look down 42nd Street, and I looked, and I heard, and I felt the most amazing energy I have ever felt in my life, because it had such gentleness and such power. Gentle power. And it was like standing by the ocean. I have never experienced anything like that in my life. And it was just like waves washing over you and beautiful colors and signs moving, but it was a transmission for me. It was a transmission that this is possible, not only for me, but for humanity, to gather in that way, so powerfully and so gentle. So gentle. And I did feel like it was elemental, these waves coming toward me. And anyway, had I not followed my intuition, had I not transcended my fear, I never would have felt that. So that was a gift that I actually gave myself. And so with this path, the tools we are given to engage, we have to make use of them. Otherwise, we will not experience basic goodness that is quite profound and you can't verbalize it. But I see it as we have to make a relationship with it, meaning we have to make a relationship first with ourselves, first and foremost with ourselves. And that is a tall order. But I say first with ourselves, then with others, and then with the phenomenal world, with nature. Those three elemental things, those three elements. But I would like you to join me in just, first of all, engaging in just a self-reflection. So I would like us for a few moments to think about all of the things about yourself that you find that you don't like, that your faults, your fears, your weaknesses, just call them up. Just those. And now, drop those and think of all the things that you really like about yourself. Your talents, your professional savvy, your whatever. What do you like? Okay. Now, I'd like you to drop that, drop all of those things, and also drop all of the bad things. So you have no faults, and you have no well, what do you have? Just drop those two sides and feel what that might be like. Don't let them come back. Okay. Anything come of that that you would like to share?
So that was really interesting when I dropped all of the sides, the bad parts and the positive attributes. It was just kind of this energetic something, and it's somewhat similar to when I meditate. I had a similar kind of feeling.
Hmm. Anybody else?
You know, the truth about myself, which I'm going to keep to myself, as I thought about the good, the positive, and the non-positive.
So did you say the truth about yourself?
That's correct. You were saying to think?
Yes.
Well, I was thinking.
So that came about when...
When I was looking at both sides.
Both sides.
Both sides.
At the same time or no?
One at a time.
Uh-huh.
You said, put it aside and you think about it.
Yes, yes.
And I thought about the truth about myself.
Truth about yourself.
That's correct.
Thank you. Well, this exercise, it's pretty simple, maybe simplistic, but... The point of basic goodness is that really there are no conditions for it. There are no conditions for it, good or bad. There's an underlying energy, underlying strength that is always available, that is always there. And it doesn't matter what the conditions are. We can be happy, we can be sad. It's before we know, we even think about that's good or that's bad. So there's a primordial quality that leaves you sort of in that space of openness where there are no... There's no way you need to be, or you should be, or you have to be, or you weren't. There is no way. You can never get away from this underlying deep strata of strength. It's strength and confidence, which is not dependent on anything. You can say, I'm a very confident person, you know, I can speak in front of people, I can do this and that, but that is not the point. It's not the point. So when we learn to meditate, we are learning to have those moments of complete openness that are not dependent on anything, any way we are, anything we feel. In fact, we invite all of our feelings and thoughts. That's basic. Thoughts and feelings come from basic goodness. It's said that feelings are the tentacles of basic goodness. So we have to honor our feelings. They take us into that space. It's the things that we don't feel. We don't acknowledge that cause the trouble. You know? Does that make sense? So the practice of meditation is leading us, maybe very slowly, but more and more we become familiar with that space and become comfortable there and start to crave that space. Um, So then the question may arise, well, all right, what about other people? You know, what about a lot of the political failures we're seeing, that so much we're witnessing right now and living with right now? And where is the basic goodness there? Where is the basic goodness? Does anybody have an answer to that? Pardon me? What's that? Buried. That's a good way of putting it. Buried. Right, someone else's.
You know, if you're looking about like the political system, there's a lot of people. It is very. There's a lot of emotions, a lot of people, and a lot of people think, you know, it's either right or wrong. It's either this way or that way.
Yes. You find that it's a dualistic way of polarizing.
I'm saying that there's a lot of people who are for, you know, a lot of people who are against.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that also can be reflected about like your own.
Yes.
Your own feelings about it. It can, you know, whatever situation you might be in, you can also feel that duality of like right or wrong,
yes.
Good or bad. You know, that's sort of, I feel like that's part of humanity in terms of like there's, mm-hmm. there's a sort of dual nature about mm-hmm. us that where it has to be this, it's one or the other. And I think when you, maybe the idea of getting back to the goodness is when you don't actually label it with your perception and your lens of how you look at it, when you don't start to attach your...
Yes.
When you look at it in a way that is not subjective or not objective, then you could look at a situation maybe in a different light that is not through a lens that you've created through your own experiences or through,
yes.
you know, a different way.
Yes.
And I don't think, you know...
You don't think enough people are doing that. Well, that is the ideal.
I mean, I think there's a lot to be. Yes, I think that there's definitely action that can come mm-hmm. out of this, and in mm-hmm. a very, you know, and I think hopefully in a very positive movement that I think has been shown a lot
yes.
as you experienced it yourself.
Yes.
But I think I think that's where I would probably try and get to is not injecting my own lens.
Yes, I agree. Well, one thing I wanted to say to that, though, is that you're absolutely right. We would like to encounter our world in a very open way, without our habitual judgment and without our habitual habits. But the ground of basic goodness is so vast and so accommodating that both, we could say, neurosis and sanity arise. They're co-emergent. And each moment it's said that each is there, and it's what we decide. It's which way we decide to go. And you could say there's one is fear and one is confidence, the kind of confidence that we're discussing that is not dependent on anything except our own innate certainty as humans. And those choices create a society, create a political realm. But it said that when you choose to follow the confidence. You create a society that's sane and wholesome. And when you choose to go with fear, you get what we see a lot of right now. So it's good to know that there's a co-emergent quality, and also that it's said that the more chaos, the more awakening. So there is this dual thing that happens, that I have never seen people so awake, I mean, in a long time. And I feel also very tender toward my loved ones and toward my neighbors. And I think that you just are awake and you feel the fragility of our lives. We have been so sheltered in some ways. If you would like to, I was wondering if you would like to do a dyad, have a conversation with another person, with the guiding factor of staying right in that space of not trying to be your good self or not trying to be your not-so-good self. You know, that your idea of who you are and what kinds of things you say, how you communicate, you could just drop it and we could have just a short conversation where one person would speak and the other listen, with that kind of openness on both sides, that you are just there for the moment listening to this person who's speaking with your whole being. And the person that's speaking can speak completely without an agenda or a way to be, or maybe they won't even speak. But I would like, if you care to, the topic could be what kind of relationship you have with yourself. What kind of a relationship do you have with yourself? And if that's not something you want to share, you can speak about your day. What happened today? My cat scratched me first thing this morning. I was off to a good start. So if you would like to, just find a person that you can sit across from. So do you have any observations from that experience? You would like to? 4 minutes is a long time. Who said that? It was a long, did you speak? A long time to listen or a long time to speak? Both. Interesting. Yes.
Not a new observation.
It's always now, Alex.
I have a fairly strong negativity bias when it comes to myself.
Negativity,
And I also realized that it's much easier, much more comfortable to talk about that than to talk about the ways in which I really like myself. Mm. I think it's not, part of it might just be that it's not a cultural norm. Like that could come off as arrogance, or, you know, it's like a talking about neurosis, we can sort of play off as humility, and then talking about our, you know, our assets or, you know, whatever could come off as arrogance when it doesn't need to be. It could just be accurate, but it's, I found it more challenging to talk about.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Also, this is the social aspect of that as well. I think there's something there. I think we have a lot of self-hate, you know? It's just almost we're swimming in it. It's part of our culture, and it's good to become aware of that maybe this is one way to see it, like, wait a minute.
I was really appreciating, I didn't feel like it was a really long time. and I was really appreciating the honesty. It's just so exhausting, actually, and so energy consuming to just, like, talk on this other level of bullshit all day and, like, listen to people, like, and it's noticeable when, like, you know, the thought of there's no agenda, you're just going to listen and someone's just going to speak. Just the experience of looking into another person's eyes and being a being, you know, is so different. And so I was just noticing that and appreciating it, and appreciating what people were saying about the inseparability or the non-duality of qualities or traits in of oneself, and how I understood that was, you know, I don't know, something like, for example, being an introverted person or being kind of a shy person or whatever, and thinking about how people, some people might see that and some people might not see that in different contexts, right? But it's not really a good thing or a bad thing. It's just a quality, and it has conditions of possibility for being experienced as a flower and not a flower. And so so I just kept coming back to the, you know, the tradition, you know, of the great emphasis on bravery and courage and how much that's a part of just love and how much that's a part of honesty.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, in the back.
I really appreciated the permission to be myself with the promise that I wasn't going to get problem solved at. I think that's how you can really create intimacy. And I feel energized being in a room now of people who just went through that too.
No, what was that word you used? Antipathy? No, what?
Intimacy?
Antipathy.
Intimacy.
Oh. Okay, I thought, oh, that's interesting.
Total opposite.
Intimacy. Bingo. Yes. Not antipathy. Even if it was antipathy, that's fine too. But that, I felt, it felt, again, this was a gift to watch all of you, to see your faces, your gestures. It's beautiful and it's simple. And how often do we do this? So this is one thing to remember in terms of society. It starts with you and one other person, that's society. And especially, I find this, my husband and I do this occasionally, and it's challenging, but it is so helpful. You can go for a long time not even knowing what each other is feeling, really. You know? So it's a wonderful little thing to set up. Just say, okay, I'm going to talk for 5 minutes now. And if, you know, if you're a person that never gets to talk, you got your 5 minutes. And then a person who doesn't like to listen has to listen, really listen. So it's just brilliant. It's a brilliant thing to remember in any format, even at work. And if you're a talker, a real talker, you could listen more. And if you're kind of a quieter person, maybe you could come out a little bit more. But it's anyway. Anybody else has found any? Yes, here.
I'm kind of a little off from everyone else. I was frightful a lot of the time. I tried to drop it, and yes. There were moments where I was like flooded with a lot of emotion, and it felt great to be that vulnerable with the person. But I'm fairly new to meditation, like the last like 2 months, and it was like after I kind of started before you started too. So I was like, wait, she's going for the next person, but it was still a whole 5 minutes left. And so I kind of just, I noticed all my thoughts coming back the entire, like off and on throughout. And so I definitely enjoyed the moments of vulnerability, but also was like, I'm so used to shooting the breeze and the bullshit that it just kind of, it just comes back to me. I felt myself like wanting to tell a joke or like, you know, ask the other person how they're doing, but I knew I had 5 minutes of myself to talk, and she was not going to interrupt me, and she even told me, like, oh, I wish I could have, like, said something to you, and I don't know, I don't, that's just my commentary on it. I wasn't at full, like, you know.
It is what it is. It's what that is for you. That's it. You know, we look for something, and we engage. And then that's it. It's what it is. So you're describing that, which is perfect. It's your experience. Yeah, beautiful. Well, I feel the other, along with obviously, working with society, one person or more, and perhaps we'll all be engaging more with society, you know, however we want to do that. But I think it's so important to get yourself there, wherever that is, engage and rouse oneself. The third piece is to make a relationship with the phenomenal world, in particular nature, the elements, to really make a point of making that relationship. That is so important for human beings, and I think it's easily lost in cities. You can go from office to Starbucks to back to office, and then it's nighttime, and you go home and you watch Netflix or something like that. But, you know, nature has so much to offer and to teach, and it's so enriching. We can go out and actually go out with the same openness that we have from meditation and just experience whatever is there. You never know what's going to be there. You know, I saw a hawk on top of that structure in Madison Square Park, that big, what do they call it? Anyways, I think it's quite beautiful. But and it said you could go out every day, choose a spot, go out to that spot every single day, and just be there and watch what happens throughout the seasons. You know, I often go to Madison Square Park early in the morning, and I just love that time. You can let yourself be woven in to the natural world. It's so enriching, and it's the fabric of our lives as well. We can weave that fabric, but I'm also a big hiker, you know, swim in the ocean, climb a mountain, just have, that's our original playground. That's what Chogyam Trungpa said. Our original playground, and it is so very enriching, especially times like this. We need a balance. We need to consciously go for things, speak to people, come here where we can be ourselves. and celebrate. So highly recommend that. And it's also part of the Shambhala path is we are given, along the path, we are given teachings at some point how to engage with a phenomenal world and actually be very direct, drop boundaries, and enrich ourselves that way. So we have practices that can take us through all of these steps, and it's really good. It's basically good. So that's all I have to say this evening. Thank you for all your genuine engagement today. It was so beautiful to see and to be in this environment. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Shastri. Visit us at ny.shambhala.org for more information about classes, weekend retreats. Again, Shastri Elizabeth Reed is co-teaching our introductory meditation course, Meditation in Everyday Life, beginning March 2nd. Check that out. Email us at podcast@shambhalanyc.org. Your questions, comments, suggestions, theories of basic goodness. I don't know. Sure. And of course, visit us every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. It's our weekly Dharma gathering where you will hear these talks live and in person, meet other great people. If you happen to live in a different city, there's probably a Shambhala Meditation Center near you. But otherwise, if you're in New York, come pay us a visit. Say hi. We like it when people come and be good. Later.